Good morning, folks. Every time that Rick is scheduled to preach, it looks like he gets sick. And we get the handsomer Chandler in the pulpit instead of him. Today is a day that goes down in history, one of three great days, or days of infamy. Of course, we had D-Day back in June 44. 41, I believe it was Pearl Harbor Day. 9/11 is a great day because that was the day that Mavis Adams was born. So we appreciate him and we love him. Luke read to you from Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Where the Lord Jesus Christ is instructing those of us who would follow him to take up his cross daily and follow me. On another occasion, Jesus said, except you take up my cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So it seems to me that if those of us who want to go to heaven would take up the cross of Jesus Christ daily and follow him. What does Christianity have that no other religion has? And of course, the answer is we have Jesus Christ and we have his cross. As a learned man once said, you cannot understand the cross until you stand under the cross. You cannot be saved apart from Christ and his cross. If his cross was necessary, then our cross is necessary. When he says, take up your cross and follow me. For those who live in Christ, judgment is already solved. For those outside of Christ, judgment is to come. It was the Apostle Paul who said about those who are in Christ that there is no condemnation. So it is solved for those who of us who would be in Christ. So it's necessary to be in Christ because it is by the cross that we have the opportunity and the blessings to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Father has given us Jesus, and we give Jesus back through Christ-like living. God will not accept anything else from us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And only Jesus can live the Christian life, and he does that through me and through you. You see, Jesus was not on that cross for only 6 hours. But in essence, in reference to my salvation, he was on that cross some 33 years as he lived upon this face of this earth and was the perfect example for each one of us. So our salvation is not for the moment. But our salvation is a crucified lifetime with him. So stated the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. I submit to you today that there is no cheap grace. Grace does not overlook, nor does it evade or forget or repel God's truth and his wrath and his punishment. You see, the grace of God absorbs the price, the penalty, and the punishment for sin. Every impenitent sinner and every sin is punished either in Christ Jesus when he died or in a devil's hell. We have a choice. We have a choice. Jesus gives out crosses. Our congregation, as we preach from time to time, gives out crosses. And everything of God is in Christ and it's not out of Christ. And so there are some certain things we need to understand and come to a knowledge of if we to grasp the full meaning of what it means to be in Christ and to take up the cross of Christ daily and to follow him. So we need to understand, first of all, that Christ died. It was a historical fact. You know, God being God cannot die. But Jesus died. Have you ever wondered about that? If Jesus was God, how could he die? God cannot die. God is eternal, always was, always will be. But God Son died for me and for you. We must know that he died, and we must know why he died. You know, scholars are more interested in how he died more than why he died. You read articles all the time that try to describe the agony that Jesus went through upon the cross, without every mention the fact that it was a reality so that Richard Chandler could be saved, so that Henry Carter could be saved. That is the reason. It's not how he died, it's the fact that he did die. That's what we have to grasp. That's what we have to believe. You know, Pilate was shocked when the soldiers went to Jesus Christ and he was already dead. You know, the method was the Romans would go and break the legs of those who had been crucified or hung on the cross so that death would be hastened. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead. And Pilate seemed to be shocked over that. The Holy Spirit thought somehow, some way, that we as Christians need to know that when the Roman soldiers got to him, that he was dead. He was already dead. He died for us. The Bible does not say that Christ lived for us or worked for us, but the Bible does tell me emphatically that he died for me and he died for you. And that's what we have to grasp in our hearts and our minds. You remember that Jesus said he had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to take it up. He had power over his own execution. As he hung on that cross when the time came, when all the things was fulfilled that was to be fulfilled in him, he cried, "It is finished." The plan of salvation had been set. The Lord's church had been, in essence, in spirit, had been established as it was physically on the day of Pentecost some few days later. It was finished. He died so that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ might be established upon the face of this earth. You know, the cross provides God's answer for sin. And sin is my problem. You know, did he die from a broken heart? I don't know. He may. Did he die from exhaustion? We know that he was probably drained emotionally. He went through a period of 6 mock trials. We know that he was probably barely fed. One scholar said he estimated that he walked almost 3 miles during the course of that night. We know what the human body can take and what it can take. So evidently Jesus was emotionally drained. But you know, the greatest agony of Jesus Christ was the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that the sweat became as great drops of blood. There's a medical term for that. I can't pronounce it. Maybe some of you doctors can. But it's where the sweat, you sweat excessively. And this sweating that Jesus was experiencing this time became as great drops of blood. He was paying a penalty because I'm a sinner. Jesus was to receive God's holy anger poured out upon him. Look at Jesus' state at this particular time. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by the Apostle Peter. The other apostles, except John, the Bible says they fled when he was arrested. He was alone. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 11 that he came into his own and they received him not. What a sad, sad situation that Jesus was in. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, eternal, eternal Savior for me and for you. Some suggested that he died of a ruptured heart. But we do know that it was a catastrophic event that took his life. The main point is that he died. That's historical. He died upon the cross. And then the second thing we have to grasp here is that he died for me. He died for me. Pilate released his body for burial, and he was sure that he was dead. That Jesus died, of course, is historical. That's an abstract statement. That he died for me is personal. that it means that I have the hope of eternal life. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died. I have to believe that he died for me. For me. Everything he did on the cross, he did it for me. Everything that he said on that cross, he did it for me. Make it personal, my friends. Read those verses in the four Gospels of his agony in Gethsemane as he hung on that cross and as he was raised from the dead and how he went about doing good. All of this was to set a perfect example for me, for you. He died for my salvation. This is the gospel. You hear it, you believe it, you obey it, you preach it. God loves me. God wants me to be saved. What a thought. God wants me, an old sinner, to be saved. That he gave his son to die for me. So sing it, my friends. Sing it out. Shout it. I have a Savior. We have a declaration of dependence. I depend upon him to keep his promise. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, the Bible tells us that he has promised us something. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So salvation is not something that you do, it's something that you receive from Jesus Christ when you obey him. All preaching from pulpits of the Lord's church throughout this nation and throughout this whole world must be gospel preaching, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. You preach the gospel to yourself every day. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It took a cross to save me. And it takes a cross to keep me saved. Ponder the sovereignty of grace. You cannot earn grace. It's a gift. You cannot buy it. It's not for sale. You cannot repay it. Because it creates no debt. You can't, all you can say is that grace changes everything. Grace brings salvation. A girl spoke to a preacher on one occasion, said, "You must love Jesus more than anything in the world for what he did for you." My friends, he saved me, and I need to love him more than anything in this whole world. Salvation is not by works and merit. We're saved by grace, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. But you know, good works is evidence of our Christianity. Good works is our evidence that we are saved. Good works is that precious commodity that God has placed upon us to be zealous of in our lives. But we're not saved by that work that we do. We're saved by the grace of Almighty God. Authentic love makes demands. You know, authentic love has conditions upon us. Authentic love of Jesus Christ is not for the childlike. It's for those who are full grown. Christianity is a gift. It's not a bargain. Look what it costs. It cost Jesus Christ his life. And I want you to know what it had cost me. It had cost me my life too. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, I have to grasp it. I have to hold on to it every day of my life. I have to take up that cross and follow him. Sin is the reason that Christ died. Christ died for us because we couldn't. We just couldn't pay the price. Acts 2, Peter said that they murdered Christ physically. But you know, sometimes we murder him in a spiritual sense. See, he gave me a cross. And the cross that he gave me, that I'm to take up daily, gave me a future. So we must give the cross to our children. That is that mantle of salvation. And they must take it all the days of their life also. The cross explains the creation. As one writer said, because of me, it had to be. Because we are sinners. So Christ died. He died for me. But now, when we look at that cross, Jesus had a cross, and I have a cross. It is easy to promote his cross. I can shout it from the housetop, you know. The cross of Christ, he died for him. But you know, it is so easy to neglect mine. It's so easy for me to neglect the responsibilities and the duties that I have as a Christian when I took upon him, when I was baptized into him. It's easy to let it go. It's easy to let it slide. A lot, you know, it's just something we do as human beings. But he says you have to take up that cross daily. If I do not accept my cross and take it daily, I cannot possess his cross. Unless I take up his cross, then my cross would be no good. His cross would be in vain unless I take it up. You know, I may not be able to change the world, but I did let God change me. And that's what it's all about. Letting God change you through the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the only good in me is Christ in me. That's the only good that any of us might have. As Christ lives in us and performs the good deeds and works among us and preaching his unsearchable riches throughout this whole world. You know, on the cross Jesus died for us, not merely instead of us. So we too must die. We must suffer and we must carry our cross. He bore his. Now, as Luke 9 and 23 says, we must bear our cross. We must take up our cross and follow him. You know, grace is not earned, but it demands my every fiber of my being. It does not, it's not something I can earn, as we said a while ago, but it does demand my effort. Salvation can never be come in Savior, but stay out Lord. He has to be our Savior and our Lord. The cross that we have, that we bear precedes the crown that we wear. Martin Luther King made in a statement in a sermon that he preached a long time ago that the cross we bear is going to precede the crown that we wear. That's a true statement, I believe. The cross, you know, we have the cross around our neck. We have crosses on our church building. And we have all kind of architect that stress the cross. But that can never substitute for a cross that we are instructed to bear as we take up that cross daily and we follow him. Just rethink that text for a moment that Luke read. Have to take up the cross daily and follow me. In Luke 14, I believe it's in verse 27, he said, you cannot be my disciple unless you do that. Get the weight and the intent of what Jesus is trying to get in my heart and yours. There is a responsibility. And that responsibility has to be taken up daily and carry the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to take up my cross daily? Well, first of all, it's very exclusive. It's the most, probably one of the most harsh statements that Jesus ever made. Because it's dogmatic. Read it again. It's very dogmatic, isn't it, Henry? Take up my cross. That's very dogmatic. Don't give you any leeway, does it? Take up my cross and follow me. You know, it's very dogmatic. It's intolerant. It's rigid. It's basic. It's mandatory and eternal, vital. What Jesus is saying in this one verse alone is simply this. Get in or get out. That's what he's saying. You take up my cross and you follow me. You follow me. If you don't take it up, he says, you cannot be my disciple. So we have to die to self. We have to die to our wants and our wishes. We have to die even to society to take up the cross of Jesus. The power to live for Christ is in the cross and in the cross only. We have basically three problems when it comes to taking up my cross and following me. And those three problems that I have is simply me, myself, and I. That's the one that hinders me, the taking up the cross daily and following Jesus Christ. Living with Christ means that we are facing only one direction. Living with Christ means that we can never turn back. Living with Christ simply means that I have no longer plans of my own. Living with Christ means that I have mind, a mind that through which Christ thinks. I have a heart through which Christ loves, and I have a voice through which Christ speaks. I have a body only through which Christ can serve here. That is taking up the cross of Jesus Christ. I submit to you, my friends, take up your cross daily, and you carry it until you find someone who needs it more than you. Here's the secret. You're never going to find anybody that needs it more than you. Might need it as much, but not more. And you carry your cross for that period of time. You'll never come to a point in your life when you won't need to be holding up the cross of Christ. As I head toward the end of this, the very important point I want to make here. My cross is not one of my many burdens. I hear people say, oh, I have such a cross to bear. Notice Jesus said cross and not crosses. The cross that we are to bear daily is not the burdens of life. It's not the fact that there is someone born who years ago with polio or born with other kind of diseases. That is not the cross that Jesus is talking about here. He said cross, not crosses. If that was the cross that we're to bear the daily burdens of life that come upon us, then that would make us a victim. We're not victims, my friends. We're victorious. We have been born into the body of Christ. We are part of that Christ, of that Christ church. We are to lift up that cross daily. It's our salvation that he's talking about. You take that salvation daily. It's something you have to pick up daily. Forgiveness is not yesterday or tomorrow. It's today. Take up your cross today and follow him. And if God grants you life to see tomorrow, there is that facing us again. Take up my cross and follow me. We have to follow him. It's not that we're sickly human beings, is it, Wayne? No, it's our salvation. We take it up. We follow him every day. It's not something that we put up with. It's something we take up. It's something we take up. You know, and if that does, as I mentioned, if it is the burdens of life, then it makes us victims. And I hate to think that any of us are victims. Our dear Faye, who had just to leave, I don't think of her as a victim. That woman has took up her cross daily for all the years I've known her and followed Jesus. My wife is not a victim of her problems. But she takes up her cross daily and follows Jesus. That's what it's all about, following Jesus. So, you know, we have to do as the apostle did. When he said, you know, I die daily, we die daily to our sins. We take up the cross and we follow Jesus. So our cross is not misery or martyrdom. Our cross and my cross is joy and peace and hope, the salvation that he's given me through his cross. You know, there are two separate actions in this statement. You know, we must take up our cross. And secondly, we must bear our cross. You know, we have forgiveness, daily thing. Of course, this cross that we are talking about here, that Jesus died upon, and what it means to me and to you, is that we take up this mantle of forgiveness every day, and we live, forgive, and forgive others, as Danny prayed. That's your cross that you must take up. Pray to the good Lord above about your daily burdens. Pray to him about the pains and the aches that you have by way of growing older in this world. Pray to him and thank him for the blessings of life. And ask him to help you through the things that happen to us, the death of loved ones and so forth. That's what we need to do. But that day we need to take up that cross that mantle of forgiveness and follow Jesus Christ all the days of our life. Die daily, die daily, die daily to self and take up the cross. Because if you don't, Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple." That's just about as simple as it gets.